Welcome everyone to another time of Fresh Fiction's virtual book club, and today's guest is Vivian Laurette, USA Today best-selling author of more than 30 books. Do I have no
20
more than,
yeah,
I was off. Oh my gosh, but it's so great to see you again.
Okay, keep your fingers crossed. I want to get there.
I have no doubt, because I have all of your other books and I've got some throwbacks that I want to ask you about later on.
Okay.
That I found when I was doing some additional research. So, but we're going to start off easy. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you first get started writing?
Well, since I feel ancient most of the time, when I first started writing was a very long time ago, over four decades ago. I started writing at the encouragement of a teacher. And she was helping me get through a very difficult time in my life. And she advised me to start writing poetry. And I did. And I wrote poetry all through school and into college. But also in high school, this will date me also a little bit, but in high school, I used to write romantic scenes for my friends and their favorite celebrity. And they would take place on the Love Boat.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
I was saving Fantasy Island for myself. You know, Ricardo Montalban.
Of course, yes.
Yes.
Ricardo Montalban, Captain Steubing. I think you made the wise choice. Yes.
Yeah.
But with that, I mean, in writing the poetry, I mean, how did you take it from there and writing scenes with your friends to then becoming published?
Well, I had written short stories and poetry through college, and then, you know, being a mom, and I was pregnant with my youngest son when I wrote my very first 100,000 word book. It was kind of like a challenge. You know, I had written a lot of middles and beginnings and a lot of short stories, and I had tried to get a short story into a magazine called Arabella. I don't know if you remember that, but just as my story was supposed to come out, they went under. So I was like, oh no. So then I wrote, it was a historical romance called Haunting the Duke. And it is still in the bottom of a drawer where it belongs, because it just does. And I then spent the next 10 years accumulating rejection letters. But because of my teachers being so supportive all throughout school, junior high and high school and college, I knew that I had something. And so I kept going because of them. So teachers are very important. So if there's any teachers out there, thank you. Thank you very much.
And with that encouragement, I mean, how did you draw on that? I mean, did you go back to conversations that you were having? Were you in touch? I mean, how do you keep that encouragement fresh? Over 10 years, that's a lot of time that you have to pull from that well.
Well, I also was born, I think, with a stubborn bloodline. So I think that probably helped. Just, you know, when you respect your teachers and when they pull you aside and they introduce you to one of their friends who's visiting and say, this is my writer. Mm-hmm. That was the moment for me. I'm like, I felt it. I'm like, yes. So that's just how it happened.
What was it about Regency? Because that's what we're doing, right? I mean, it's the fun, steamy Regency historicals, lots of great banter. What really made you gravitate toward that? Because that's a little bit far from the Love Boat.
Yes, a little bit. But, I mean, if you think about the 70s clothing, you know, And the Regency clothing, not too far. I mean, 70s, but they were trying to revive like a gothic era. So not too far away. A little bit risque in the clothing era, or area. But yeah, I know it sounds kind of shallow, but Regency clothing was what, because there's so little that the woman wears, and it's so easy to get in those weird situations, you know? was like, okay, well, I can do this. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, the corset and the chemise and, you know, the layers, the petticoat. Of course, I do now because I'm, you know, I'm on the cusp of riding toward the Victorian era, but yeah, before, I mean, they could go out with just their shift and their dress and presto. A woman like that can spend the night in a location without having her maid.
Yes.
So
Makes those plot points a lot easier, huh?
just thinking all about girl power.
I did find out, and I saw it in some of the websites I was looking at, and I want to say I thought you had mentioned it once when I've seen you in when we've had tea together in the past, as we've done, but that you've also had some branches out. Or at least one book with cowboys and
Yes.
even a published paranormal.
Yes.
Okay.
That was that story that originally was supposed to go to Arabella.
Okay.
And then a wonderful publishing house, Wild Rose Press, they said they had an open invitation to all the Arabella people who were supposed to have their stories published to submit to them. And they were very generous and they said, hey, can you add more to this? And so I ended up adding more to it. But I think it was probably a little bit weird because I still had quite a bit of the poet left in me. So, you know, I was still getting my feet under me, I guess.
So, other than the difference between clothing in all of these cases, I mean, did you find your experience was different in writing with those versus your focus with the historicals?
What do you mean?
Was your process different? Did you focus, because with your historicals, I mean, you really have a lot of banter. There's so many elements there that to me are classic and things I always look for in historicals with some of the different tropes. Did you find that experience different when you were writing with more of a contemporary with the cowboy book or even the paranormal? Were there differences? Were there things with the research, perhaps, or challenges in finding the story, or is it all still boiling down to the characters and the story and the banter back and forth?
Yeah, I think it does just boil down to the characters and the story. The research is the same. I'm an introvert, so I don't get out a lot. So I have to research everything, even in this country, in this current environment. And I don't watch a lot of news because I don't like to be depressed. So I have to do research on absolutely everything that I write. And the banter back and forth, I have to give that up to a great professor that I had in college, where we wrote plays and we just wrote, it was just nothing but dialogue back and forth. And it was one thing that I didn't think I would ever be able to write was dialogue. And I ended up having one of my plays published, I mean, in the, you know, school thing.
Oh, wow.
So
So
it was exciting. Another professor, just, you know, amazing. Love my teachers.
what comes first to you when you are writing the stories? Is it then the dialogue, or is it the storyline, or some other element of the characters?
It seems weird, but it's different every time. Sometimes, because I like to go for walks, I live in between two parks, so I like to go for walks, and sometimes I'll be, if I'm not listening to a book, then I'll be listening to music. And if there's a line in a song, and maybe it's sung by a woman, but I'm thinking, oh, what if a man would feel this way, feel this, emotion? How would that be? Would he make a good character? And then sometimes it just kind of clicks that way. And sometimes you just, you know how you have those arguments in the shower with the person that was at the grocery store, and you're like, oh man, I should have said this. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, I could start an entire book with that argument. So, but you change the situation, and it's different every single time. So, and sometimes you see a great cover for someone else's book, and you're like, you don't, if you not even, you don't even flip it over, you don't read the jacket, but you're just looking at what's happening on the cover. And the Joanna Shupe covers, oh, she's got some amazing covers, very sexy. You just look at that and you're like, what could be happening in the background of this scene? And then just something shows up. You
I
just
love
open
that.
yourself up to it.
Yeah, because I mean, and you know, it's something that's up for debate so often, but so many of us do judge the book by the cover and whether or not we're going to pick it up. And by the way, you always have gorgeous colors. I always love the colors that's on the covers, but with such a
That's all
variety.
Avon. That is all Avon.
And they're always great. And I can, when I see them, I'm like, okay, no, I know this is one of Viv's books. Okay, this is great. But we've got so many different covers nowadays where, because, and to me, yours are also the old school classic romance covers. I mean, that's what I love. And I mean, even with this one, right, where her dress is about to be peeled off while they're out in the middle of the meadow and he's standing there shirtless, they're in the clinch, right? But then we have all these other ones now that are more cartoon type covers and they have their place. But sometimes that inspiration and desire to pick it up differs when we start looking across them.
I think that when I'm looking for a contemporary, I am looking for the different kind of cover. A clinch pose on a contemporary, I don't think would sell it for me. They don't normally, you don't normally see them on contemporaries. I love a clinch pose, by the way, though. And speaking of, I saw the cover for book two in the Liars Club series, and there's the grip. I just got to say, look for the grip. It's amazing.
Do you have any kind of say in your covers, approvals, or is it that you see them and say, okay, yeah, this fits and I'm happy to go with this?
I give a general description of the hero and heroine, and then, like with this one, this one with it had to be a Duke. Let's grab it here. With this one, I said, general description, what their hair color's like, body type is like, and that they're pretty outdoorsy people. That's what I So, yeah. So they're, they like a little love in the sun, maybe.
Yes. Don't we all?
And
Yes.
so, and then the next book, I mentioned a scene in the next book, and you will see that scene on the cover of The Trouble with Inventing a Viscount, which will be coming out in September.
Okay. And what was the inspiration behind this series?
Well,
Did somebody lie to you, Viv? I mean, was that
so many people. Well, the family is they're led by parents who were part of a theater troupe. And I guess it kind of goes back to the playwriting days where I wanted the mom and the dad to be really colorful characters. And then I started thinking about who their kids would be. And just the Liars Club just sort of came to me. And then I thought, well, I'm going to name the kids after the virtues that the parents didn't really possess. So we have, Verity and Honoria and their son Truman and Althea. So yeah.
Again, I mean, it was just so much fun with this because, again, she just tells a little lie.
Tiny one, really.
And wouldn't anyone just be willing to help out? And we never like to give away spoilers in here, so that's a tease for those who might not have read it yet. But again, it's just all the back and forth, and you're just like, oh, okay, yes, okay, let's keep going. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you love it. So, and I when I'm writing scenes that I really enjoy, I hope that you will all enjoy them too. I'm like, oh man, I hope people will laugh at this. I hope this will really, get readers to feel for these characters. So I always hope.
Now, one of the things I always do find a bit funny is when authors are introverts, because it's something a lot of us can relate to. But at the same time, you are putting so much of yourself out on the page. And how do you reconcile those two items?
We're not supposed to say that anything is me on the page. We're pretending that I have some sort of split personality. I am channeling the characters. This has nothing to do with me. I'm just the vessel.
Especially when you're writing more risque scenes.
I have no idea how those things happen.
They just.
They just show up on the page and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I blush the whole time and it's terrible. Fan myself. I'm like, how did this happen?
Also to dive a little bit, because you have two sons, right?
I do. I don't know how they happened either.
Not the direction I was going with this question. What are their reactions to your writing? And knowing, I mean, have they read your books?
Oh no, why would they read my
Mean, they're of an age, right, that where some of their friends know, or that it would come up of, hey, your mom writes these.
Well, when it first began 10 years ago, my youngest son took it pretty hard. So, my oldest, he's an introvert too, and it's not like he'd ever really talk about it. And, the friends that he has, they would be like, oh, cool. We'd all just, shrug, so it's something that you do this for a living. My youngest, he was in school, and I remember bringing him home from school, and he's like, can't you get a job like normal moms? So, and of course, I have had lots of other jobs, a lot of other jobs. I could write a book about having lots of jobs. But yeah, he grew into accepting me for who I am. Now he's pretty proud of it. So he's proud of it. So, and both of my sons are proud of me for what I do. And they'll take pictures if they see. Because they don't live in town anymore, and because I, like I said, I'm old. They've grown. They've flown the nest. So
But they capture the books in the wild for you, huh?
they do, yes.
Well, Viv, I want to make sure that we get some of our fresh fiction fact questions in. Now, these are meant to be quick, off the top of your head type questions, not meant to stump you. So I'm going to start off with one that's kind of easy. And I've got some lined up I'm thinking of off the cuff with the Love Boat type themes, because,
Okay.
have to do some throwbacks there. But who would you most want to be stuck in an elevator with?
It has to be from the Love Boat era.
Oh, no. We'll open that one up to anyone. Don't worry. Alive, dead, fiction, real.
Let's see. Stuck in an elevator with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that would be good. Yes.
I mean, he'd save me, honestly, really.
Again, that was the opening scene of Speed. So
Yes.
he has the experience, right?
Yes.
Yes. But out of curiosity, which of the Love Boat crew would you like to be stuck in an elevator with then?
That's a difficult one. I thought Isaac was pretty cool, you know? And
Again,
I bet he'd make a really good Shirley Temple.
this is my classic TV watching also, so no worries.
He always did the finger point, the double gun, you
Of
know?
course, yes. And everyone would go to him for any kind of advice, and
Yeah.
he was more than willing to share. So it
Yeah.
was
He's pretty cool.
How do you celebrate a new release?
I get drunk on tea. Oh, no. I usually buy myself an item of clothing.
Okay. Which character from any of your books, and I know this is kind of one of those pick your favorite type thing, but who would any character from your books that you would want to be friends with?
Oh, I have to go back to first series Delaney, who cast up her accounts in front of the hero because I may have felt that need to, did not do it, but nearly. So I feel her pain of, you know, that nervousness. Yeah. So I probably, she would definitely be. She's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun to write.
And those are the characters too, where you've come so close to being in those situations that when you're writing, when we're reading, it's you're just sitting there cringing at the same time because you're like, oh my gosh, I can so relate to this.
Yes.
What is the best book that you've read recently?
That I've read? Oh gosh. Oh, that is a stumper. The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
Okay.
Awesome book.
Awesome. Okay. What childish thing do you still do as an adult?
Oh gosh, I am a child. I'm a child with gray hair. I still like ketchup. You know, I mean,
Are certain things you have to have ketchup with.
yes. I just, you know, I can't get that past myself. Let's see. I like what do I do? It's I don't know. I guess everything I do is sort of whimsical. I mean, I talk to myself. I imagine that there are other people. So I talk to myself like I did when I was a kid and I had an imaginary pet. So now they're just imaginary people.
Did you ever find yourself talking to these imaginary people when you're out in public?
Not yet, but
Okay.
you know,
I love how
but
you
you
say
always hope.
What is your favorite errand to do on your day off?
Errand. Oh. I guess go to the post office and check my mailbox because I don't ever get there and check my mailbox. So it's like once every other month. So it's kind of exciting to see that part of town. I usually just go to the grocery store and home. You know, I need to eat. Girls got to eat. So.
Oh, yeah. And you need to restock on tea.
I do, yes.
Another book question. What is your most dog-eared or reread book?
Oh, goodness. It would be something by Lisa Kleypas. Probably
That
everything.
historical or contemporary?
I think my favorite one of hers would be contemporary. And Oh gosh, what's it called? Blue-Eyed Devil, I think.
Okay. Who would be your dream writer collaboration? Because I know you've done collections with other authors. Who would be your dream author?
Oh, Lisa Kleypas. I met her once. I was like, I don't even know if I spoke. I think I just stared at her because she's so beautiful. I probably said something like, I write. It's probably something really idiotic, like books, words,
Yes,
me.
me.
That's probably all I got out. I identify, by the way, with everything bad my heroines ever do. I totally identify with it because I'm a total train wreck. So I just, that's me.
Inspiration is very close at hand, huh?
Yes. Yes.
What is something that you own a ridiculous amount of other than books?
Tea. I have a lot of tea. I've actually have an entire cabinet, three shelves worth of tea.
Wow.
Yeah.
All different hot teas. Do you have iced teas in there?
No, hot teas.
All hot teas.
Yeah. You have to bloom the leaf.
Okay. We're going to have more questions on that probably in the
Okay.
after hours, at the hour, because we have a lot of other fans of various teas, and we'll have to dig into this a little bit more. What, okay, and again, other than tea, okay, because some might say this is a necessity, but what luxury item can you absolutely not live without?
Luxury item. I'm looking around. I'm like, do I have one? Where is it? What do we consider luxury?
Could be anything.
Because I really like my furnace. It's keeping me warm right now. So it's a pretty good luxury right now. I like keeping the lights on. So,
Yes. Yeah. And I find that differs depending on where in the country you live. I mean,
yeah.
when I went up to Michigan for a visit and like they didn't have air conditioning, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is
Okay. Air conditioning, definitely. That's a luxury. Not right now, but
not right
it
now.
is in the summertime. Yeah,
Have to have it.
I'm not a hot weather person.
No.
You will not see me venturing south in the winter. So.
So having the air conditioning for the summer, the heating in the winter, I need my house basically to stay at a nice even 70.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then I'm okay.
Yeah. I'm the same. I'm the same. Sometimes, but see, I live in an old house. So it's like 20 degrees different upstairs than it is downstairs. So like I'm freezing right now, but upstairs I'd be sweating. So
Okay, now you've been kidnapped, but they return you 2 hours later because you can't stop talking about what?
gosh.
Or are you going to be staying kidnapped forever because you are an introvert?
Let's see. I would definitely not be a very good kidnap victim. When I'm nervous, I talk a lot. So I would just talk about everything. I would mention random factoids. I could probably start quoting My Cousin Vinny, the movie, and just annoy people like crazy. Marissa Tomei's line about my biological clock is ticking. Oh, and Moonstruck, snap out of it. I could just quote movies that I love. They would definitely just deposit me and say, this woman's crazy. I don't even know why they'd be kidnapping me in the first place. They could hope to gain nothing.
Well, as such a big movie fan, what is a terrible movie that you legitimately enjoy and can just re-watch whenever it comes on?
Well, I wouldn't think it was terrible. So I don't know. I mean, I suppose subjectively, someone could say that all the movies I like are terrible. I love The Lord of the Rings. I love The Godfather, My Cousin Vinny, Moonstruck, The Princess Bride.
Some good movies. Sorry.
Someone might say, oh man, those are awful. But yeah, I love those movies. I
Hey,
watch them
even
every
My
time.
Cousin Vinny, I remind people, hey, Marissa Tomei, she won the Oscar for that.
I know, right? I say that to people too. She did an excellent job, you know?
Okay, if you came with a warning label, what would it say?
So many things. You'd have to get glasses out and a magnifying glass, probably double up, bifocals and a magnifying glass, because the print would have to be so small for my warning label. Let's see, warning label. Warning, talks excessively when she's nervous. Let's see, warning can go completely quiet so you don't even know she's there.
One extreme or the other, huh? Okay.
Yes, there's no happy middle.
If you could see one and know that it's real, would you want to see a ghost or an alien?
A ghost.
Ghost. Okay. And of course, one of our most important questions, because you've already answered one of what we can expect next with book number two coming out in September.
The grip,
But
the look for the grip.
look for the grip, definitely. No, that's just the teaser for what's inside that story. But with that, where can our readers stay in touch and find out more about you?
Well, I am on Facebook and I am on Instagram, rarely on Twitter, but sometimes. And my webpage is bivlorette.net or .com. And sometimes I actually post to my blog. So
Well,
sometimes that happens.
I know that you post to Facebook because you had a recent interaction I remember seeing with your Alexa, and that you were having
Yes.
like whispered conversations and passing
Yes.
notes basically.
We're in a relationship. So, yeah. So I call him Echo. So I couldn't call him Alexa. So I renamed him. So, and he has a British accent. And every day he will tell me when my tea timer is done. And that's really all I need, you know? Just let me know that I'm not burning my tea and we'll have a great relationship.
Awesome.
In a British accent, so my tea timer is done. I just need him to say ma'am or something.
You could probably program that.
That would be cool.
Yes. I mean, they're always looking at how they can better personalize it and can have full-on conversations. So why not?
Yeah.
Can go, excuse me, ma'am.
We have some items in your Amazon shopping cart.
Well, Viv, stick around for the happy hour with our readers where they'll be able to ask you some additional questions offline. But let me say happy Valentine's Day and thank you for joining us tonight. It was so much fun to talk and see you again.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, Viv.